Amen. Go ahead and please be seated. Well, welcome. It's good to see everybody here this morning. I hope everyone can, I'm sure, hear me at the back. Everyone's good? Great. So I have to change things up here. Of course, typically, we use the microphone as a recording device, so we actually purchased one right here. It's under the cordless microphone / recording device, so we can record the messages but not necessarily have to be behind the podium. But if you're visiting with us, great to have you with us here this morning. I know you could have chosen to do many things on your Sunday morning, but I'm glad that you're able to be here this morning. I personally like the weather. I know some may not like the cool weather, but I like the weather how it is right now. It could be a little bit warmer, but I don't mind this kind of weather. What we can think about right now, as it is getting cooler, think about Calgary last week had X amount of centimeters of snow. And so snow, I'm hoping that it's going to take a while from Calgary to make its way here, but Calgary got a lot of snow, so we're fortunate that we have cool weather, but we do not have snow. I do want to thank Rob for sharing communion this morning, really helping us to see how much his life has changed, and that was evident in his sharing that he's very grateful to God and as to what God has done in his life. And I really hope that you as a disciple, that this morning, you are grateful for what God has done in your life. You know, last week we looked at Ecclesiastes chapter 1. We're going to continue our lesson here this morning by looking at Ecclesiastes chapter 2. But before we continue, let's go to our Father in prayer and ask for his blessing on our study here this morning. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much that we're able to be here this morning. Father, thank you so much for each and every person who made their way here. And Father, I do pray that as we open up your word, Father, I pray that your spirit really speak to us. Father, allow us to reflect, allow our hearts to be pierced so that, Father, we can be able to draw closer in our relationship with you. But Father, or we can make decisions to be able to seek you in our lives. Father, thank you so much for that, for this time we could be here. Please let your spirit work through me to be able to meet our needs here today. Father, thank you. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
You know, the author of a book called A Brave New World, Aldous Huxley, he warned in his book of an inner conflict, an inner oppression which people love the very things that oppress them. Think about it. The people love the very things that oppress them. To Huxley, people are controlled by inflicting pleasures. The people are controlled by inflicting pleasures. You know, we are in a culture that's controlled by pleasure. Many controlled by the pursuit of pleasure. You think about discussions at work, discussions at school, discussions in the neighborhood. You think about morning commutes. People talk about what are they going to do in the evening or when you go back to work? What did you do over the weekend? What films to see? Talk about the latest clothing labels. People discussing, probably even right now, as to Caribbean cruises that they probably want to take. You think about if you know someone who is retired. Retirees spend, at times, whole days at the casino playing slots. You think about yourself. They are people you know, countless hours that are spent in recreation activities, leisure, anything that could bring about some kind of pleasure in your life. Even churchgoers, how churchgoers will go where worship is most pleasurable. Because at times they can believe that God exists to make them feel good. You know, when we think about Solomon, and we think about his life, we see that Solomon's life was centered on the pursuit of pleasure. Turn your Bibles to Ecclesiastes chapter 2. That Solomon, his life was centered on pleasure. In chapter 2, in verse 1, it says, I thought in my heart, come now, I will test you with pleasure, to find out what is good. But that also proved to be meaningless. Laughter, I said, is foolish. And what does pleasure accomplish? I try cheering myself with wine and embracing folly. My mind still guiding me with wisdom. I wanted to see what was worthwhile for men to do under heaven during the few days of their lives. I undertook great projects. I built houses for myself and planted vineyards. I made gardens and parks and planted all kinds of fruit trees in them. I made reservoirs to water groves of flourishing trees. I bought male and female slaves and had other slaves who were born in my house. I also owned more herds and flocks than anyone in Jerusalem before me. I amassed silver and gold for myself and the treasures of kings and provinces. I acquired men and women singers and a harem as well, the delights of the heart of man. I became greater far than anyone in Jerusalem before me. In all this, my wisdom stayed with me. I denied myself nothing my eyes desired. I refused my heart no pleasure. My heart took delight in all my work, and this was a reward for all my labor. Yet when I surveyed all that my hands had done and what I had toiled to achieve, everything was meaningless, a chasing after the wind. Nothing was gained under the sun. You know, Solomon was on the pursuit of pleasure. You know, Solomon tried pursuing pleasure only to find out. In verse 2 it says, and what does pleasure accomplish when all is said and done? It says he denied himself. Nothing his eyes desired. That if he saw something and he wanted it, then he made sure that he had it. That he refused his heart no pleasure. Tried laughter. Tried cheering himself with wine. Not sure in what order. Sometimes cheering yourself first can lead to laughter. You know, it's amazing how in society people try, whether it be wine or drinking, to be able to get some lasting satisfaction. You know, Solomon also tried, we see here, projects. He undertook great projects. Started building things. It says houses, vineyards, garden, parks. The list goes on. Planted all kinds of fruit trees, reservoirs, and built so many different things. And he would experience the reward of a finished product. You know, whenever you build something and you're like, you know what, the work is all done after all your work? He would have experienced, you know what, I'm satisfied what I built. But that was it. That was the reward. There was no long-lasting reward after that. You know, he tried possessions. It says slaves, herds, flocks. He amassed silver and gold, treasures of kings and provinces, male and female singers, and a harem, the delight of a man's heart. We see he had pleasure, projects, possessions, and even had popularity. He became greater by far than anyone in Jerusalem before him. You know, Solomon was a very popular guy. And Solomon tried all of these different things. Only to realize in verse 11, it says, when I surveyed all my hands had done and what I had toiled to achieve, that everything was meaningless. A chasing after the wind. He says that nothing was gained under the sun. You know, some of us, when we read about Solomon, you know, in our hearts, we may envy Solomon. I think, wow, all the possessions that he had, all the things he was able to try out. Man, if I had more time to build projects and all these other things. Some will say, you know what? Solomon, he had everything. So how was nothing gained if he had everything? Well, when all is said and done, Everything was meaningless at chasing after wind. Go all he had and experience the pleasures. Tried different projects. Accumulated possessions. And became extremely popular. When all is said and done, when it came to finding true and lasting fulfillment in his life, nothing was gained. He was right where he started. You know, today we see a pursuit of pleasure, a pursuit to entertain ourselves in many different ways, in luxurious ways, to build large bank accounts, take luxurious vacations, have the bigger cars, the newer cars, the bigger home, the newer homes, to purchase things and deny ourselves absolutely nothing, to chase after, whether it be relationships, popularity, believing that they will bring some kind of fulfillment in our life. Yet only when all is said and done, to feel in our hearts, you know what, there's still something missing. There's still a void that's in our heart. You know, growing up, you know, my life was centered on pleasure. You know, I was very active in playing sports, and I spent, some people would say that I was sports obsessed, because we'd spend countless number of hours playing sports. Have countless hours of entertainment. Movies, TV. You know, as you may realize, being consumed at sports and TV and entertainment, I was not a teenager that helped out around the house. You know, because my life was, because I was not pleasurable. There's no pleasure in having to do chores or all those things. My life was all about, you know what, I'm going to have as much fun as I possibly can. So my teen years, I decide, you know what, now let me experiment and try different things. And I decided, you know what, when I was an early teen, I decided, you know what, let me try, it looks really cool, let me try smoking. People say that's something that's pleasurable. I took one smoke and I started coughing, thought I was choking, and I didn't stop there. Unfortunately, I decided, you know what, let me give it another try. So I decided to try smoking, but unfortunately, I tried smoking in my basement, in our family basement, and so one thing led to another. When all is said and done, I realized that, you know, when you try smoking, don't try smoking paper. And so I realized that when you try smoking paper and it starts becoming a flame, don't try to put out the flame by using more paper. And so my lesson was, when all the contents in our house burned down because the firemen came, the policemen came and instilled the fear of God in me, I realized, you know what? This smoking is, there's nothing gained. Well, there was something else gained, but that's more the discipline aspect that was gained later on. But when all said and done, I was like, you know what? This is, one, it's futile. Then later on, I decided, you know what? Now let me try going to clubs. So I started going to clubs when I was 15 years old. And then when all said and done, I'd end up going to clubs 5 days a week. And I would spend time going to clubs and say, you know what? Look, now let me try drinking. I tried beer, didn't like the taste of beer. Then I say, you know what? When I'm out drinking, I need to have a drink because that's what they expect when you go out to clubs. So you know, now let me have a rum and coke. Then I realize, you know what? This is going to add up. I'm only 15 years old. So all said and done, try drinking, experiment. You know what? This is just futile. Then I decided to, you know what? Now let me experiment with other stuff because drinking didn't cut it. Let me try marijuana. Tried that and that didn't cut it. So you know what? This is just futile. It's not doing anything when all is said and done. Tried relationships that were immoral relationships. Thinking, you know what? A relationship. I need to find a girlfriend. because it's a cool thing to do, and there's a lot that comes from having a girlfriend. But I realized that I was so immature, not ready for a relationship. Then I decided pursuit of possessions and tried, okay, now let me grab, as I was getting older, now let me have a sports car. So from the time I was 16 years old, I had one sport car, then I had another sports car. That didn't cut it. And you know, it's one of those things where I got into this phase of, you know what, let me buy clothes and jewelry. So I started buying clothes and jewelry, and then, so I would go out and buy a bracelet, buy a necklace, and of course, I realized that you can't really get a gold necklace for $10. Everyone will say, you're going to go buy a necklace, and someone's selling you a $10 necklace, only to realize when you got all these bumps on your neck, weeks later, going, you know what? What is that from? I only realized, you know, that wasn't gold. But trying all these things, and of course learning different lessons, like, you know, when all said and done, what is the big deal? But you know, when all said and done, that was life. From the earlier years, and then early adulthood was, you know, whatever I can have, I'm going to deny my heart no pleasure. And I'm not saying here today that leisure, that all leisure and all entertainment are wrong and we should not have any leisure or should not have any entertainment. And I don't believe that all pleasure is wrong. I do believe that there are pleasures in the scriptures that we learn about that are wrong, that we find in our hearts to be pleasurable, but the scriptures say that they are wrong. But even the ones that are acceptable did not bring true satisfaction in my life. At times they provided a good feeling, temporarily, but it wore off and I was looking for something else. And because my life was not centered on God. And only God could meet the need that was in my heart. And I tried to fill my heart with all these things and pleasures. But when all said and done, it still did not cut it. You know, have you ever felt that way where you're wanting something to fill something in your heart, you're chasing after this or chasing after that? I do believe that all of us want fulfillment, happiness, contentment in our life. But when all said and done, can only come from God. Some things may offer us a temporary kind of feel-good experience, but not true lasting pleasure, not true lasting fulfillment in our life. You know, so I was fortunate that when I was a campus student, a friend of mine invited me out to church. She went out to church, and then she invited me out to church. I came to church, and I was excited about what I saw. I started studying the Bible, realizing, you know what? True fulfillment is not offered in the things around me, that it's offered in a relationship with God. So I came out to church, decided, you know what, let me just continue checking it out, then made a decision, I'm going to start studying the Bible. Then 2 weeks later, I became a disciple. And I've never looked back. Never regret, I wish I would have had all these different things, because I do believe what I have in God is far greater than what the world or anything else can offer. You know, this morning, where are you at in your journey in life? You know, are you seeking pleasures, believing that these things are going to offer you some kind of fulfillment that's lasting? Possessions. Are you trying to gain and accumulate as many possessions as possible? Well, that's where all of our time is invested. You know, are we seeking to become popular? You know, when all said and done, when I was going to school, I was considered one of the popular kids simply because of playing sports and the people that I hung around with. But popularity didn't cut it as well. But so many times we can try to chase after popularity, trying to fit in, simply because we want our friends and people to accept us. But what we really need is to be loved and to realize how much God loves us and wants a relationship with us. You know, what can we do today? You know, I do believe when we read about Moses, we don't have time to look there in Hebrews chapter 11, in verse 25, it says simply that Moses chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than enjoy the pleasure of sin for a short time. You know, one thing we need to do is to say no to the pleasures of sin. To say no to the pleasures of sin. You know, we all have a sinful nature and we're enticed by different things. But we need to say no to the pleasures of sin like Moses. But he chose to be mistreated along with the people of God that enjoy the pleasures of this world. You know, that's what we need to be as Christians, where we are devoted to doing what God wants us to do over popularity, over the pleasures of this world. Because doing the right thing in this world is not going to make us very popular. Holding to Christian values is not going to make us very popular. If we want to become a Christian, and if we want to be popular, the two many times do not gel together. Because we have to have a higher standard than the world does. Where we say no to the pleasures of sin. Or say no to any kind of pleasures that draw us away from God. Because there are different pleasures that may not be sinful, but they have all of our time. We devote all of our time and energy. Well, we have no time for the things of God because we're busy pursuing the things of this world. You know, the earthly pleasures, many earthly pleasures are given to us by God. But I do believe that these things that God gives us has its appropriate place in our lives. But these different pleasures should not be where we pursue pleasures as an end in themselves. We should not let the pursuit of pleasure or possessions control us. We invest all of our time, our heart, and our energy as invested in all of these things. We are not to indulge in these different pleasures. Instead, we are to have God at the center of our lives. You know, Psalm 27, verse 1, you don't need to turn there. It says, unless the Lord builds the house, its builders labor in vain. Unless the Lord builds the house, its builders labor in vain. And I do believe that's a lesson that Solomon learned in his life. That unless God is at the center, unless we're building our lives on God, what we do is in vain. Like Solomon, it's a chasing after the wind. It's meaningless unless God is at the center of our life. You know, Solomon, he had it all. Everything that many of us want in this life. But none of these things brought him true, lasting fulfillment. I do believe God wants for each and every one of us here this morning to enjoy lasting pleasures, to enjoy fulfillment in our lives. But it must begin with him. Security, self-worth, is not found in accomplishments. It's not found in possessions or accomplishments or in popularity. But it's found in the love of God. It's found in a God who loves you so passionately. A God who wants for you to know him on a deeper level. You know, today, you know, God wants, again, to know you on a deeper level. Today, God wants for you, wherever you're at in your faith, he wants you to seek him, to learn about him, learn about his character, and learn about his plans that he has for your life. I want to encourage you to read the Bible. If you've never read it before, pick it up, read it, and get to know the character of God. Oh, I'd encourage you, if you're visiting, to sit down with someone, maybe someone who brought you this morning, and get to know the God that you see in the scriptures. And I do believe when we put God at the center of our life, we seek God, find him, and have him at the center of our life, that he will fill our hearts with lasting pleasures. He'll fill our hearts, make our hearts be full, that we'll be content because we have God in our life. Today, let us pursue God above everything else and allow God to guide us, allow God to build our lives so that we can find true and lasting fulfillment in our lives. Amen.